Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guests today are Dana Brown, Assistant Director of Administration. Welcome, Dana.
Nice to see you.
And Stephen Colo, Chief Information Officer. Welcome, Stephen.
Glad to be here, Paul.
And both are with the United States Secret Service. Well, Dana, let's start with you. Most of our listeners know about the Secret Service as the agency that guards the president, but could you tell us about its other responsibilities?
Probably the least known aspect of the Secret Service is investigative responsibilities. People might know about the counterfeiting and credit card fraud, but we also have other areas of expertise as well that go beyond just the simple, straightforward processes of counterfeiting and credit card fraud. We're involved in many other aspects, and increasingly we're involved in the globalization of crime as opposed to what might have previously been indicated as domestic issues.
And I'm also under the impression that it's no longer just people investigating. They're much more elaborate in terms of technology and the new sciences being brought to bear.
Well, certainly. Technology has changed for all law enforcement how we do business. I think the computer in particular has now become the repository of criminal information, the means to facilitate a crime, or strictly the instrument to commit the crime itself. So in many respects, the computerization of criminal endeavor has made it identifying the criminal, locating him or her, again, from the global perspective, much more difficult than it might have been in the past.
You know, I'm fascinated. I always love to tell this. I'm a little bit of a history buff. I like to talk about the history of the Secret Service. We were actually founded in 1865, and in fact, it was April 14th of 1865 when then Secretary of the Treasury Hugh McCulloch came to Lincoln and said, we need to start a federal investigative service, because at that time Civil War had just ended and about one-third of the currency was counterfeit. And so Lincoln gave his, he agreed that to go forward with this initiative just before he went to a performance at Ford's Theater. So the irony is, you know, the man who created the Secret Service, which is best known for presidential protection, that night was assassinated.
That is an irony of history. Yeah. Let's spend some time finding out about your careers. Could you tell us about your careers?
Well, actually, Dana and I, our careers are very much parallel. We both came on literally within weeks of one another, and we both were local police officers before we came into the Secret Service. Dana was a Fairfax County police officer, and I was a Metropolitan police officer. And for myself, you know, my career has moved back and forth from the protective aspect and the investigative aspect of the Secret Service. I spent most of my investigative time in our three largest field offices, which was our Washington field office, our New York field office, and our Los Angeles field office. My protective responsibilities include assignments at the White House with President Bush and President Reagan. I ran the presidential campaign, not this one in 2000, but 1996. So I feel that I've had a pretty diverse career.
And Dana, how about you?
As Steve said, there are some parallels, particularly the time on the job and the different perspectives of our employment. I also had three field assignments. I've also been assigned to the President's Protective Division. Also had a position in liaison at the time that was the Freedom of Information and Privacy Act officer for the Secret Service. I've been in the inspection division. It's been probably the bulk of my career in investigations, and then most recently in the Office of Protective Research, and then now in the Office of Administration.
In describing your careers, it sounds rather traditional in terms of my perception of what Secret Service folks do, and yet now you're leaders and managers of the organization. What prepares you for that?
Well, my job as the Chief Information Officer is certainly unique within the Secret Service, especially as being an agent, and probably how I came about being chosen for this position was really what I did during the last campaign. And I was very interested in finding ways to be more efficient and effective with how the Secret Service moves people from location to location during the presidential campaign. So helped create a logistical system that tracked their movements, was interested in the storing of information on CD-ROMs, which hadn't been done before. So after I got done with that assignment, they kind of looked at me and said, we have an assignment for you. So that's how I became the CIO.
How about you, Dana?
Well, my position probably is a little bit the exception to most agents' career tracks, in that it's largely an administrative position versus a protective or investigative position. I think the one thing, though, that probably helped me in coming to the position is that I had a great deal of experience throughout the assistant director's offices. We have 7 different offices, and I had been a supervisor in 5 of those. So if anything prepared me for the opportunity to have this position, it might have been that, the greater perspective.
What drew you to public service?
As Steve had pointed out, we're both law enforcement officers at the local level. Always been interested in law enforcement. Had previously been in the Marine Corps, which at that point in time, given the Vietnam War, not most of us, but many of the people from the Marine Corps gravitated toward law enforcement. Then once there, the opportunity to look at it from a federal perspective provided me the opportunity to do this. And it's been an excellent opportunity. It's such a great job in that you get to look at 2 different phases of law enforcement for us, which one is a protective and investigative, which is kind of unique among law enforcement, plus the opportunities to travel and other things as well have been exceptional and extraordinary, and being in government in general has been a very good thing.
And I would probably have to, parallel what Dana said. I think we're both children of the 60s, and Kennedy had a tremendous effect, at least on myself. So this was something that I can honestly say that when I look back at my career and I talk to my friends and most of the people that I went to college with are very successful. A lot of them are extremely wealthy. But when we compare our careers, I think that, and they generally agree, the satisfaction that I have gotten in public service is, I think, transcend any monetary value, and I wouldn't change it at all.
In your careers with government, what qualities have you observed as key characteristics of good leadership?
Well, I think that strong work ethic is very important, especially in the job that we're in, because you really have to put in long hours. Certainly, you have to be a motivator of people. I think it was Harry Truman who said something to the effect that a good leader is a person who can persuade other people to do what they don't normally want to do and like it. So I think that being able to motivate other people to, move forward in the direction that the leadership feels is appropriate is very important. I also think that you have to be approachable, and I think you have to be a good teacher to bring other people along. I think that's very important.
I would say that being responsible, being reasonable, and being affable in many respects. By being responsible, I would say that the ability to act responsibly, but also to accept responsibility for your actions. In terms of being reasonable, to be fair and equitable, across the board as much as you can. And the affability issue really is that you can do so in a manner that, with an even temperament, so that you can bring logic to bear, as opposed to some less exact science and how you arrive at a decision, particularly in issues that are contentious.
Do you think these qualities are going to change for leaders in this century?
Well, being one that is involved in the technology field, I think that definitely knowledge and technology is going to be something that people of our generation might be able to get by right now, because truly there is a transitional phase. But I think that you will be – I think leadership is leadership. But I think the ability to be able to grasp the vision of where technology takes you is very important for the leaders of the future.
It's time for a break. This is the Business of Government Hour. We'll rejoin our conversation in just a few minutes.